The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. She's one of the world's most influential names in fitness, listed among the AFR's Young Rich List, Forbes, and partnered with identities like Khloe Kardashian and Good American, boasting more than 15 million followers across the globe. With a family, an empire, and dumbbells in hand, Emily has made her dreams into reality, and she's here to show that you can too. This is the You Can Podcast by Emily Sky.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the You Can Podcast. I'm joined today with my manager slash friend slash pain in my ass slash business partner slash, what's that word you used before that people are calling you, your episodes, something?
You can't use that word in the context of that.
Oh, you don't want to give it away. Okay, it's a secret, guys.
No, it's sojourn, but that doesn't work.
Yeah, well, we can put that there, can't we?
Well, no. Because that means a visit.
All right, take that out. Anyway.
You're having a sojourn at the office today, at the studios.
I'm here with Sam, and obviously he's trying to take over as usual.
You asked me!
Today we're talking about New Year, New You bullshit.
Oh, well, there's no stars on that.
Yeah, well, I can't say bullshit. Star. I know, I just ruined the whole thing. Beep!
You do that so gracefully.
Yeah, not really.
This is a good one, right? 10 out of 10, because I feel like we have a lot of people turn to you January 1, but, you know, not January 1, January 2, but then January 5, maybe January 10.
No one's
10.
Alive on January 1.
Literally.
Except for us, because I'm always on TV or something.
Literally. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of media as well coming to me asking about tips about – you know, your goals for the new year and things like that. But I believe that if there's something that you want, don't hold off for the new year. Like, don't think, okay, I'm going to start in January, because why not start making changes now? And I get it if it's, you know, a time where you're going away on holidays or it's Christmas or whatever and you want to enjoy yourself. But holding off because it's just a new year and you think everything should be new and new you should be happening.
Yeah. Like, there's no difference between December 15 and January 1. And I actually saw a really interesting, might have been a meme or like a whatever, a while back, and all the numbers will be wrong in this, but I'll just give you a rough idea of the example. But basically it said, you know, looking from December 1, don't ruin an entire month over 9 meals.
Yeah.
There's 150 others. And like, it went through and was like Christmas lunch, Christmas dinner, Christmas Eve dinner. Like, it listed all the days and all the meals that are associated, and then it was like, that's 9 meals. There's 150 others or whatever that you've got to eat in the month, or 90 or 100 meals, whatever. And I just thought that was a really interesting way of looking at it, because I'm that person who's like, oh, look, from September through January, it's over. Do you know what I mean?
As soon as I start, and this is so bad too, but hey, I'm human, but as soon as I start eating shit, right, and the more shit food I eat, the more I want to keep going with it. And I just
think, it's the shit train.
Yeah, you're just stuck on it.
And the kernel's driving and it's not ideal. But I think it is interesting because there is such a mind shift. And to an extent, and I'm sure you agree, if that's what people need, then sure. Like, if going from 2019 to 2020 is the change that you require to start accepting the change, sure. But the problem is, right, and we've got notes here from producer Courtney that I think it's like 80% of New Year's resolutions fail, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Is that kind of why your booty challenge, which is currently obviously in the Fit program, is that the reason that it started so late in January?
Yeah, I wanted to give people time to enjoy the holiday period and get it out of their system, and then they can start fresh and truly commit themselves and not be sort of half on, half off.
100% right, because my birth, and it's just an excuse, but my birthday is the 10th of January, obviously, yours being the 7th.
That dinner we had was...
Hello.
And the dessert.
But I always... Which one? But I feel like for me, I don't start my new year until my birthday week has concluded. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's no point me eating healthier on the 1st till the 10th. Like, what am I going to do there? Lose weight and become healthier. But I don't want to tell myself that. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of like that saying, when you've got a certain amount of money in the bank and you lose some of it.
Would you burn the rest of it?
Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, would you?
No, I'd really protect the money. that's very important to me. But no, I agree. And it's funny really, but every year I don't think it's losing steam. You know, like New Year's resolutions to me are as popular as ever. And I think that it's still that time of year where people sort of go like, no, that's a change. And I thought, look, to an extent I understand it, right? Because, you know, December is, there's so much celebration. I mean, look just at, you know, we had an internal Christmas party here. We had an external Christmas party. We had, you know,
parties.
Me and my host. I think I hosted six or seven myself between the company and I. And, you know, then on top of that, it's, you know, family stuff. And so I see it, right? Like the whole season, you know, they're bringing out the good treats at the shops. Yeah. So I get it why you then when you leave in January, you're like, oh, my God, I need to stop this immediately.
Yeah. So it's a definitive moment where you can actually create that change, like where most people are doing it. And I think people like to feel like they're not alone when they're making changes.
Yes.
And when they feel like everyone else is making changes too, they feel like they're more likely to stick to it.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. And I think that it's just, I don't know, for me it's just interesting that it's maintained its steam, that like it's still a new year thing. I think obviously perception has changed now from like lose weight to now get healthy, which is obviously something you've been pushing for a very long time, which is probably quite a positive, I would say.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, but it still seems to be more passionate than ever. But like we've just been discussing, like, you know, 80% of New Year's resolutions fail, which we've just touched on. But why do you think people fail so much?
I think that they have this idea that they want to reach their goal. So they've got this goal in mind and they want to reach it. So they're starting off pretty strong and they're excited about it. And then they expect results too quickly. And when they don't get those results, they start getting off track because they just don't feel motivated anymore. So they're like, oh, well, it's not working. Why bother? And they just fall off completely. But it actually takes time to get there, and you've got to be consistent. Consistency is key, and that saying is around for a reason.
Yep.
You've got to stick to it, and slipping up here and there is all, it's holding you back. So you've got to
100%. What do you think about a transition period? I'm big into the transition.
If you can do it. And everyone's different.
Yeah.
I like to go hard. Like I like to, for me.
Day one, start, the end.
Yeah. Like if I have, I'll allow a little bit of chocolate here and there, I'm actually the worst because I just want more. Like there's, I can't. Right. I actually have to have nothing and be really strict with it. There's a time where I can start introducing it, but initially for me to get that, because I get addicted to sugar too, just like everyone else.
Of course.
For me to get that out of my system, I've got to go cold turkey. It's just the way I work.
Because so for me, right, and I think it obviously depends on the type of person that you are and the type of diet that you're, you know, going to go into. But for me, I find that I'm like if I'm eating terribly, I eat terribly, as you know, like a big fan of a chip, big fan of chocolate. But for me, I eliminate that.
Yeah.
But it's then the other things that with a meal that rather than just eliminating immediately, like potato. Sure, smaller quantities.
Well, those changes are going to get you changes as well, because taking anything out is going to get those changes, and then you've got room to move as well. So there's definitely positives with that. You don't want to like take everything out and go. I'm not talking about going really low calorie and eliminating so many food groups that.
But
you've
don't
got
you think
no,
that's what people are doing? I feel like I see that on the internet.
I feel like
constantly.
They try to do that and they realize it's too hard. So like, I totally get it. And if you're new to it and you don't know how to do it, you don't know yourself well enough to know how you work, then it can be. That's probably the worst way to go about it.
I think it's really interesting. And, you know, obviously I've done a lot of dieting over the years, as you know. And for me, I think that a lot of people don't realize, and I've done it so much now that I feel like I know my body pretty well and how it reacts to certain things or whatever. But I think that a lot of people don't realize that if you go from like terrible eating, as I do, and then you snap into exercise and diet, firstly, your body's going to massively crash from the lack of sugar because it's now become addicted to it.
You feel like shit.
And so it's going to be a lot harder to roll into the gym or an at-home workout or whatever when your body is currently in crisis, because it's like, where'd all the sugar and carbs go? Or what have you restricted from your diet in order to become healthier? And so do you think that's part of what's contributing? Like everyone's going, I'll have a salad for lunch and then a salad for dinner and then a salad for lunch and then a salad
for dinner.
Too
hard, too soon, and then they feel shit because everyone's saying how eating healthy and exercising makes you feel good, and they're not getting that. So they're going, well, this is a lie.
Yeah.
And they think, I can't go on doing this forever. And I do the same thing, even though I know better.
Yeah.
I can't do this. Like for me, when I'm not pregnant, obviously, if I want to, I guess, get myself fitter or leaner, I start eliminating carbs or reducing my carb intake. It's just what works for me. Carbs make me very bloated and I don't feel good with them. So I'll start minimizing
them. Let's
break
it down though. When you say carb, what are you talking about?
Potatoes, rice, bread, pumpkin, sweet potato. What else is there?
but let's draw a line in the sand though, because in my head, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the expert. Like I see, I know they're both carbs, obviously.
Yeah,
like
carbs
I'm not an
and
idiot,
sugar.
But I think that carbs are potato as a carb to me is different than a bag of potato chips.
Yeah, because they've got oil.
Yeah, and like
well.
It's a saturated fat. Yeah. There's like all these, you know what I mean? So for me, when you're saying cutting down on your carbs, you might be referring to, when we've come off Christmas, which so many people have now, you're not necessarily, I wouldn't say my potato intake goes up as in like cooked potatoes and baked potatoes and whatever. My intake goes up on chips, chocolate, lollies, that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's those carbs that are getting
you. Yeah, and I don't like to use good and bad foods, but for a lack of a better word.
You've got to do some division, right?
Bad carbs are like hot chips and
yes.
And chip or fries, if you want to call them that.
Whatever they
are. In the
US
or whatever. Or a bag of chips, things that are fried. They're like you carbs
is the word
aren't really good
complex?
For you.
What does that mean? Complex.
Yeah, complex
carbs.
Is like sweet potato, rice, things like that. So it's not just a two parts to it. So there's like simple carbs that have two parts. Complex has more than that.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know how to explain
complex
it.
Complex carbs doesn't refer to chips and chocolate and things.
No. So they break down. It's funny because like the foods that are full of sugar that people usually call bad, they actually break down a lot quicker and they're used as energy faster. But the problem is we have too much of it and we get an overflow and it ends up being converted to fat.
Right.
So having complex carbs lasts longer in your system so you feel fuller for longer.
Yep.
And there's more nutrients in them as well. So they're a better for you carb, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, right. I see. That's interesting. And so for me, I think that's when we're talking about like separating it and just for listeners, because I know that I'd be asking the same questions. When you're referring to coming off Christmas, right? I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know this already about Emily, then where the hell have you been? But you live a life like everyone else lives. You went through Christmas. You're eating dessert at my birthday in January.
Being pregnant sort of,
That changes things, of course. But you still would have eaten dessert at my
100%,
birthday.
100%, yeah.
You still would have eaten dessert at Christmas dinner. Do
and
you know
I
what
still
mean?
Allow myself those things. So when I say if I start making changes and I go hard and eliminate everything, like I'm 100% in, that's if I've got a goal, like I drastically want to make changes and still do it healthily. I'm not cutting my calories right down or anything like that. I'm still having enough to keep me energized and to get me through my workouts. But for me and to feel my best and start getting rid of, because I get a lot of bloating, as you know, and I got to get a lot of fluid retention, starting to reduce the carbs down and having more high fat and protein helps me heaps. I feel great. I can think clearer. Is that a word?
Clearer, yeah.
Clearer and clearly in mind, I put. And I just feel good eating that way. So it's not necessarily what works for everyone.
No.
And you got to find
I think
it's
important, right? I mean, I know keto is one of those things that's been thrown around so much and there's so many differing opinions on it. I know that you've said that you don't follow it and you're not a part of it. You know, you do eat to an extent low carb and so some people could consider that and whatever. But forget the buzz terms of keto and whatever. If we look at the science behind your body being in ketosis, for example, which isn't a fad diet, that is a scientific process that your body is in, whereby you are burning carbohydrates now as a normal person as your primary source of fuel, but you start burning fat as your primary source of fuel. And to get into that,
switches over.
You've got to just reduce your carb intake and sugar intake.
Basically, so you've got glycogen that's stored in your liver and your muscles, and when you're eating carbs and sugar, your glycogen levels are quite full. But when you start going down, especially if you're doing high intensity workouts, because that's how you use those up as well. Then you become, it starts switching into fat burning too. And you can do it simultaneously.
Yep.
And I've heard lots of things, I do a lot of research on this, and there's a lot of people saying that you can go in and out of it.
Yep.
So to be like truly in ketosis, you're just burning fat.
Yep.
But some people sort of come out and they're burning carbs as well as fat.
Yes.
Like they're going in and out, yeah.
Of course. And so I guess that's important for people to understand. If for some reason, which I think that unknowingly a lot of people would be, especially this time of year, starting a diet that is almost ketosis aligned, because I think the perception of general health is that you eat a salad or you whatever. A lot of generalized healthy meals don't have a lot of carbs in them anyway. And if you go from very high carbs to all of a sudden these diets, I think a lot of people will be switching over and whatnot in your body. Like, explain to people why that is such a bad, like, why do you crash so hard? Like, it's a real thing.
Well, you're not used to it. Your body adapts. It's always trying to adapt. And that's why changing it up, especially with your training, is a good thing, because it's getting it out of that adaption and it's trying to adapt again. So then you're getting changes. But what was the question again? I just got to
look. You know, people are, and I'm just trying to establish, right? So for me, it just the listener knows the direction.
Yeah, why they get that crash.
But why they get that crash? Because, you know, when people are failing at their New Year's resolutions, I'm trying to understand to myself why they're failing in the health and fitness realm. And so I'm seeing it as like, you know, it's obviously too hard, you're too ambitious.
It's going too hard too soon and expecting too much too soon. So they're not getting what people go on about. Like I'm one of them. I say how I've never felt better when I'm healthy and fit and strong. I feel amazing. And they're thinking I'm going to feel like this.
Not day two.
And they're not. Or they're, some people take longer as well to get results. Can take weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah, right.
For me, if I was to switch to eliminating the bad foods, and I've got the
comments,
but if I was to eliminate those and then start reducing my carbs a bit and having more fat and then exercising, I feel shit for a few days, but then I switch really fast and start feeling great and I start losing retention. I actually lose a lot of weight, and I'm not talking about fat.
No, it's
I'm talking about fluid and everything else. Yep. Yeah, and I'll lose a few kilos.
Yeah.
Like it's off all of it.
Is this a thing? I don't know. And obviously you're not a doctor, so, you know, we're not reaching here, but if you do know the answer, but there's presumably some kind of, not muscle memory, but if your body has been, as yours has, at peak physical condition, you know, when you're at whatever time, you know, in the best shape of your life, you're strong, you're healthy, whatever, and then you go through Christmas and you eat a bit more and you're pregnant and this, that, and the other, if you then try and go back and, you know, you go into that process, presumably you'll get back to that faster than someone who's never been healthy.
Yeah, hopefully. And also because I know I've done it before, so I know that it works.
Yes.
And I also know what I feel like when I get there, so I've got that motivation as well. That's not to say I don't get those times of feeling unmotivated and I'm thinking, oh, it's taking longer this time, especially after having Mia. It took me a long time to get myself back to what I was before.
Yeah.
I ended up surpassing that. I ended up feeling better than I was before, I remember, and stronger, which is an amazing thing. But it took time. Like that was about a year or something after.
Yeah.
But because I'd done it before, I knew that I could. I just had that in me, that belief that I could do it. And I think that's probably what's hard for people when they haven't done it before. They don't know that they're capable and that
they don't know what the light at the end of the tunnel even is.
So they've got nothing to look to. They're just thinking, oh, I'm not getting there, and everyone else is, because everyone around you seems to be getting results and you're not.
Yeah,
and
of course. And that's
the worst for motivation.
Talk to me about, you know, health and fitness, obviously. This is the number one time of year for that. But the other one that I would say that is the number one thing that's said, you know, January 1 or January 2 is that people are going to kill it and they're going to be so rich this year and they're so successful and so this and whatnot. Do you have any kind of... Does anything change in your, regardless of being business or health or whatever, does anything change between your December goals and your January goals? Does anything reset because it's new year, new?
Not because of that, no. It's more, I mean, having business, and we both have James Cosmetics together.
Yeah.
So obviously there's times in the year where you create something around it, like whether it's a Christmas period or we've got a sale on or whatever, there's a timeline there with things that are happening.
Yes.
So we work around that, but it's not because it's a new year we're going to like work harder now or anything like that. It's the same.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as well, so I'm obviously pretty firmly against the New Year's resolution stuff. I don't think it makes a lot of sense and whatever. What I will say is that our lives to an extent are geared towards a fiscal calendar.
Yeah.
Like a generic calendar. And so, for example, James Cosmetics, per se, our year end is December.
Yeah.
So like in December, I do a financial look back and we look at our figures from all the months and whatever else and then we do our forecasting for next year. So to an extent, the slate is wiped clean from January, if that makes sense. Last year's numbers are wrapped up and now we're moving into a new year and starting at zero.
Yeah, and we still like work as a business and we look at last year and we see how we can improve and things like that.
Yes.
But that's not just because it's a new year with a new resolution for the business.
No,
like it's not.
But I do think that there's a lot of areas in life, and business is certainly one, where a lot of things are geared to January to December. And so you are to an extent forced to reset, renew and rethink. And so for me, I don't really think in New Year's resolutions and new year, new me garbage, but I do appreciate almost the reset that you get in January. Of like mentally speaking, right? Like this isn't a tangible decision I make. This isn't something I even think about. I'm thinking about it more now than I ever have before. If I'm in December, right? Or I'm in November, and we obviously have a really strong end to the year with James Cosmetics. We have the most amazing support from the community. But those numbers are great numbers, right? We do phenomenally well in November and December. And when I look in December and I look back, like I think to myself, like we're doing well.
Yeah.
Like things are going well. So if December's not as strong or this, that, and the other, I still think like, God, November's been huge and this.
Yeah.
But when I get to January, my mental state is $0.
Yeah.
I don't think about December was huge.
Yeah.
I literally think in we've made not
like
a dollar.
That too.
And so I think that there are some elements to the 19 to 20 where I can see value just because of the way the world is geared.
Yeah.
But it's when you tie everything to that one change in a year, you know, that date, that 24-hour period, yeah, that the wheels fall off because it's you're only changing because it's a new year. Like we did extensive planning, as you know, in December for all of this year for James and November. So we didn't wake up on January 1st and then go, now what do we do? You know, the legwork was kind of done in 19 for 20, yeah, if yeah, that makes sense, yeah, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And in a business like ours, obviously, we have to forecast, you know, our products. You'd come up with something in week one and have it out in week two. They yeah, take months and months and months. So we have to think further forward. But I think that it's about using that change to your advantage, yeah, rather than being a slave to the date.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to realize that you decided this. This is your choice.
Yes.
So if there's anything you want, whether it's to do with changing your diet and your training or whatever, or it's business or it's a personal goal, whatever it is, you made that decision, you decided you want that and you've got to commit to that and then plan for that.
How do you think, like, that's good advice. Is there a tangible component to that? Do you think, like, you know, there are people who put, I was reading in your Fit Forum just this morning, there's a lady who was talking about how she has this photo of a very fit person with a quote that's like, you know, you're never going to get there if you don't try hard, yeah, or whatever it is. And she said she stuck one on her fridge and she stuck yeah, one.
I used to do all that.
So yeah, you don't do that anymore?
Not anymore. When I first started, I did. I had like magazine covers, and because it was a goal of mine to be on it, which I achieved, which is so yeah, amazing. But when I first started my health and fitness journey, I did have these goals and I wanted to build muscle and I wanted to get abs and I wanted to feel amazing, but I did want those physical goals as well. So I'd look at those people and I would put like the cover on the back of the toilet and in the shower on the other side of the see-through glass screen and just in different areas where I was in the house a lot. So I'd see that and be reminded, and I had it on the fridge, yeah, you know, pictures and things like that. And it wasn't that I wanted to be them. That's really important. It's that I wanted to be my best, but they would inspire me or motivate me to become my best for me.
Yeah.
It's my version of the best.
And that's hard, right? Like there is a line to be drawn there between putting a photo of someone up, yeah, and trying to attain what you visually see versus yeah, being inspired by their success to attain your own success, yeah, whether that be physical, whether that be mental, whether that be, you yeah, know, whatever it is. Do you have any goals this year, regardless of new year, but like do you have any overarching goals for the year that you're trying to achieve in fitness, in mental health, in business, in anything?
It's probably not so much fitness because of pregnancy, and I just want to try and obviously maintain some sort of good posture, because that always goes to shit when I'm pregnant, always, once in the past. But it just gets really bad and I have a lot of pain. So I'm going to try my best not to have that happen. Mm-hmm. And then obviously after I have the baby in the middle of the year, I'll wait for my clearance from the doctor and then I'll start again and pretty much do what I did with Mia, hopefully.
Yeah.
See how it goes. But I have personal goals as well. And one of those is, I was thinking about it before, is to be more confident in who I am online. Now, I share a lot of myself, as you know, and I'm very real about a lot of things. I put a lot online, but there's a certain part that I sort of hold back because I've still got that fear of the judgments and criticisms, which I always get, and that's just how it is. Social media is just like that. Everyone's got an opportunity to put their opinion out there and they yeah, won't hesitate to do it. And it is something that I've always struggled with, and I'm so much better at it now, but I'm still a human. I still get affected by it.
Yep.
So I always think, oh, am I going to offend someone? And that's something that I'm always afraid of, if I say something and they take it the wrong way and I offend someone. So it makes me overthink everything, and then I think, oh, I'm not going to even bother doing this. Like if there's something, some topic I feel passionate about and I want to get yep, on and talk about it, then I go, oh no, but these people might be offended. And then I go, oh, I'm not going to do it. It's too hard. Yep. So I want to be more not afraid to be myself, and that realizing that I can't please everyone, which is what I know and that's what I put out there, and you can't. But I don't want that to hold me back. So that's probably
what
a goal I have.
What steps are you taking to achieve that?
Trying not to overthink things too much, and believing in my opinion.
Is it situation by situation though?
Yeah.
Like it's not like a daily I'm going to do the following, or I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like,
I
how
think it's
is it?
More when I have that feeling of I want to talk about this, just doing it anyway.
Yep.
And obviously my intention is not to hurt anyone or offend anyone or anything like that. It's always to have a positive impact or give something, you know, something that's good to people and have a good conversation.
Yeah.
But just not be not holding myself back, so and second guessing myself.
Yeah. Kind of thing. It's hard, right, though, because you can't be an ambassador for every cause, every issue, every everything. You can never be on the right side of everything. So all you can really be is you.
Yeah.
And in certain circumstances, that's going to make people love you, and certain circumstances make people hate you. You know,
and if you think about it too, if you just think about, like, for everyone who's listening, if you had all of you online, you're going to have people who don't like you. You're going to have people that don't agree with you. And it's hard. Like, I look at celebrities and they've got their life displayed everywhere for everyone to judge and criticize. Like, that would be the hardest thing ever. I couldn't imagine it. And yet people sit there and go, oh, how could they do that? How could I do that? How could they do this? If your life was put out there for the world to see, how do you think people would respond? So no one's perfect, you know?
Yeah. Oh, look, absolutely no one's perfect. I mean, I think it's been quite telling, actually, and we don't cover really any pop culture or comment on world events or anything on this podcast, but I think it's worth raising the recent royal circumstance. And we're not going to go into it, and there's no judgment from certainly from Emily, from Sam maybe, but there's no judgment from us and whatever. But I think that it was interesting to see this story came out about, you know, Harry and Meghan parting with the royal family, whatever word you want to use. And then it was kind of interesting, for me anyway, to see the story that came out, the criticism they faced. Then there was this meeting with the Queen that sort of happened. And then I formed an opinion, I think like everyone did. And then Harry came out and spoke publicly. And I mean, certainly in my podcast, I didn't issue a retraction because I wouldn't go so far. Producer Courtney is issuing retractions all over town by post. If you need one, let us know. But I felt like in that circumstance, from the outside, knowing nothing, I don't know anyone in the royal family. I know nothing, obviously. I probably was too quick to presume Meghan may have been the issue there. And now seeing the world's press and whatnot, and the world seems kind of divided because now Harry's come out and basically just said, this has been the hardest life ever. And, you know, he lost his mum to it.
Yeah.
And you think, like, you just don't quite really, you can't fathom what other people are going through, and you can't fathom, you know, the perspective of certain things. And so that was a very long-winded story, but I find it so interesting that people are so quick to make a judgment call about things that you'll say and whatnot. And you're never divisive in, you'll never go on your Instagram stories and be like, Meghan this or the royal family that. It's always about issues that are important to you. And that people are very quick to say things. And I think the royal circumstance to an extent has been quite eye-opening because we had no real information and we kind of judged from the small tidbits we had. And it wasn't until I saw Harry speak that I thought, we've really all made an assumption here.
It's human nature to judge. And when someone's in the spotlight, we're inclined to do so. And it's kind of exciting, I guess, for people to follow along and make those judgments. But something I want to do too on the other end of it is not to judge people too quickly on things like that. Like, that's something that I want to work on, to realise that people are living their own lives and there's things happening that you don't know about, and we are going to judge. But I think just questioning yourself, like, why are you having these judgments, or maybe there's more to it, and not being so harsh about it.
And I think tangibly, you know, your post from a couple of weeks ago, I think it was now, about, you know, you spoke obviously on your Instagram about it, Mia being at home, and more often than not on your Instagram, I think it would be fair to say that she's in a nappy at home.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm sure when you're filming, that doesn't come even into your psyche, the thought process.
Yeah.
But then to have people message in quite large volumes.
Yeah, and nasty stuff too. I get a lot of questions like, why is she? And that's fine. I'm not having a go.
You've put it out there. That's
cool. And I can give them an answer and they get it. But it's the people who are really nasty about it and saying that she looks like, they say horrible things like she looks ugly in her nappy and that she should be looking cute and you should be a real mother and put her in clothes and wouldn't she be cold? Oh, it's bloody hot here. We're in Australia.
Cold.
Just stupid things. And it got to me, and it has for a while, and I actually avoided putting Mia up because I go, oh, that's right, she's in a nappy again. I'm going to cop it again. And I thought, you know what, stuff it. It's not hurting anyone. Mia being in a nappy is not hurting anyone. I believe it's good for her to be free and not be wearing clothes. I don't want to do more washing than I have to. She's painting, she's eating food, she's getting it all over herself, she draws all over herself. I don't want the clothes wrecked. I've bought an outfit, put it on her, and she's wrecked it straight away. I've gone, well, that's going in the bin. So what's the point if I don't have to?
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't have to justify my choices, but there it is anyway. And she loves running around like that, and I'd be naked too. You know, like, people think that it's such an issue, and I just think there's more things in the world to waste your time being concerned about.
Especially if, I mean, I think it's one thing to see it, form your own opinion and move on with your day, yeah, as it is to form an opinion and then externalize that and then throw it in your face, like via a DM or a comment. Or
I read the things and I just think, oh my gosh, like these people must have no life. That's what I think initially. I wouldn't say it to them, but
yeah.
I just think, wow, like you need to get a life if you're really worried about this and not concerned. Like they're trying to be nasty. That's their intention with the
yeah,
words they
no
use.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
and
it.
And again, it's not the people just asking the simple question. These are like other people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So do you think that maybe that occurrence is what then formed this idea that you want to be more open? Because I know that you've struggled with, you know, we had it last year, I think it was. We flew back from Sydney to the Gold Coast.
Which time?
Yeah. For people on this podcast who don't know me very well, my personality is very much a princess, and I like the nice things in life, and that's what that is. And so I often will make a joke about the everyday things that I understand are first world problems and stupid and ridiculous,
yeah,
but I find great comedy in that, and I'll share that on my social media. And the people who follow me understand that, and they get where the joke is coming from. And you shared on your Instagram me being over the top about flying in economy, right?
Which I thought was funny. It was lighthearted. It was nothing about anyone else. It was simply about you.
And the joke
it was
more
paying
on
you
me.
Out.
Yeah, the joke. I was the laughing point in that story than anything else. Given we fly economy often, like you know what I mean. It's not a crazy thing. It was just that it was funny that day, and so we shared that, and you received
the hate.
Overwhelming hate.
I had to delete it.
Yeah.
Which kind of annoyed me because I had to sort of delete something that I didn't believe that I'd done anything wrong. I didn't think there was anything bad about it. But because it had offended people, then I did feel bad. So it was kind of – it was a weird situation and I just didn't want people to be hurt because I was getting a lot. And I'm not saying that they don't have a right to feel whatever they feel. Everyone has a right to feel what they feel. But I think they took it the wrong way. And it's the same when we flew to, I think we're coming back from LA and we went into the suites and it was like the first time we've ever done anything like that.
Yeah.
But we paid to go into these suites before our flight as a, I guess it was a gift to ourselves, you know. I mean, I don't need to explain that either, but it is what it is. And I normally would hide things like that because I never want to make people feel inferior or feel bad or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And keep in mind, I've been there where I haven't had money and I guess I've been poor and I flew all the economy when I could even afford to, or it was like a business, someone else was paying for it, another company was paying for it, and I did the economy flights, I did all of that and I remember sitting there thinking one day I'll be up there, like, because I'm going to work hard to get there, that's the point, not because I deserve to be there, you know.
No.
And when I was in this suite, I thought, no, I'm gonna tell the story because I think there's something to be said here, and I think there's a message that people could get from this, and it's motivation and to realize that it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter who you are or what you start with, through hard work you can achieve, and by achieving you can have these things. Like I like handbags. I was gonna say you like bags too, but
I
like handbags, you know, jewelry or designer wear, whatever it is. That's because we like it and we've worked hard and we reward ourselves. It's not for any other reason. Like, don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
Complicate it. I can't even speak. So I shared all that and I shared being in the suite and I shared the message along with it because I never want to be like a show off. It's always something that I hate. I'm not one to go and buy a handbag and then post it and show the world. Nothing wrong with it, but it's just not me. So I said the message and I got a lot of great feedback. Most of it was really good. People reshared what I'd posted. But
the difference there, right? I think the difference there is that the content, had you have posted the same content without the words,
it's different.
You would have received the hate.
Yeah.
It's just that you had to explain the purpose, which I just think is the difference between someone watching your stories and understanding what you're about and someone watching them and not understanding.
Well,
because you would
had
never
negative.
Share it to brag.
No. And I still had people that were saying like that was unnecessary. You didn't need to show that. And I thought, well, I feel like that was necessary because I think I need to show these things to show people that you can achieve these things.
What's funny is that people think it's necessary that you share your lunch so they know what you're eating. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what's necessary? What's not necessarily how funny?
I know we've deviated.
But I don't think it is deviation though, because I think that it's almost an evolution of, you know, you're saying one of your key goals this year is to, you know, be more aware of what you want to share and less aware of what you'll be told what people will tell you that you should be sharing and dictated to you. So I think that we've seen that evolution now between almost, you know, that post last year and you sort of were holding back and you deleted a story, et cetera. Now you've just recently posted this thing with Mia where it's very clearly, you know, you've this said, I will be posting this regardless of what
and
you think.
And basically, if you don't like it, you can unfollow. Like I don't care anymore.
And that's
like,
what
I'm
it is. But how do you check in with yourself about that? Like, is it, because it's a topic that kind of has to come to you to an extent before you're going to share it. It's not, you don't have, I don't think people would think this, but you don't have a list of, here's all these topics I will talk about in January and February and March. So it's just when you're passionate about something, when something arrives in your life, you'll talk about
it. Momentary, like there's something that I've experienced and then I go, oh, I want to talk about
that. I'll talk about that. So how do you keep check of yourself, like, you know, come March, come April, how do you audit yourself that you have continued to share what you want and not what you think others want you to share?
I think instead of when something happens and me doing what I used to do, oh no, I can't do that because of this, just going, no, I'm going to do this anyway, and realizing I can't please everyone and that sometimes people are going to take things the wrong way and it is what it is, you know, and I can't just stop being myself in fear of that. And I think that's a message I've always put out to the world and what I tell myself, be yourself and the right people will love you for it. And, you know, if they don't love you, it doesn't matter, whatever. And that's when I want to teach Mia. So I think she's a huge part of that, that I need to remember what I want to teach her. I need to be practicing myself and that I need to be her role model and actually show her, because kids pick up on everything. This is what I said in the story too. But your kids, they look to you first and they learn from you. And if you're behaving a certain way or if it's about your body image and it, say if I'm in the mirror going, oh, look, you know, I look yuck in this, or I got fat here or whatever it is, she's going to be seeing that and I don't want that to go on to her.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to stay on top of it and she's a huge reason for that stuff. So I think she will keep me in check.
Yeah, for sure. But how do you, I mean, how do you, I guess, avoid the, like there's a hype around January 1, there's a hype around New Year, New You. How do you still stay on track when the hype disappears? And that's why all these resolutions fail, right?
Because you've got to really want it. Like you need to decide that you want something and why you want it and you want it bad enough and then you remind yourself of it.
But people know they want it, right? I genuinely believe that people know they want to be skinnier, they want to be healthier, they want to be richer. I think people genuinely believe that. But how do they create walls around
it?
You
have to
break it up, don't you?
You need to research. So you work out exactly what you want and then you break it up into smaller goals that are achievable and realistic. And then
in
you
fitness,
have to,
what's a small goal?
Well, maybe it is lifting more weight, like going up in weight with what you're lifting over the next few weeks or whatever. I'm not really one about monitoring through the scale. That's not really my sort of thing, because I will gain when I'm lifting heavier weights. Yeah. I do gain a little bit.
So yours is tangible, like, you know, go 4 nights out of the week where you don't have a carb with dinner.
Yeah.
Or you do, you know, something tangible.
Something that I'm sort of ticking off.
A small goal. And do you, when you say ticking off, is it physical? Do you ride
can,
it?
Yeah, I used to do all that at the beginning, but now it's sort of like it comes
a bit more second
more
nature to you,
more,
of course.
More naturally. But I'll usually, when I'm not pregnant and having crazy cravings, I will do throughout the week, I'll be eating healthy foods, which I know are healthy for me and things that I stick to. And then when I get to Friday, that's the treat night and I treat myself and have whatever I want. And sometimes even on Saturday, I'll have that too, because that's the point that I got to. I was able to maintain a certain level of fitness and health to be able to do that. And everyone's going to be different too, so you don't compare to other people. And then Sunday comes, I go back to eating really clean again. So it's usually Sunday to Friday, and then Friday night it sort of kicks off and I enjoy my weekend.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, so that's what I do and I stick to it. And if, say, for whatever reason I have there's a dinner and I have a dessert in the middle of the week, it's not the end of the world. I'll just say, I've had my treat tonight, so I'll skip the Friday one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's different too, because if I have a hard goal, like say I'm shooting a magazine cover or something and I just want to look my best and feel my best for it, then I am more strict, and that's like a goal I have that's more of a short-term thing and it's not like a lifestyle change.
Yes.
And I work harder towards that, be more structured, and then when that's happened I sort of relax a little bit and just go back to my life.
But overall, you live a healthy lifestyle, generally
speaking.
Yeah, so
there's not much I have to do.
You've got smaller internal goals for that. Magazine cover, you know, what we just discussed about Instagram. Whereas most people – sorry, not most people, that's wrong, but a lot of people don't live a healthy lifestyle and they want to start that. And so it's about, you know, when you hear Emily's story, how long did you work for before you even were close to a healthy lifestyle? That was years, right?
Yeah.
years and years and years before you turned your life into healthy.
Oh, yeah, before I became healthy. It wasn't until I was like 25 almost, I think.
But when you decided I want to get healthier, it took a long time because there was even times when you went too far.
Yeah, and I had to actually – and you don't have to do anything, but I was underweight back then and I needed to gain some weight, and that was through lifting weights and getting more muscle on me so I could become healthier in that sort of way rather than just being skinny, and that's just a personal thing.
Yep.
And that took a while. I competed back then and I actually didn't allow myself enough time to gain the muscle that I needed, so I was still too small for competing. It's hard to speak about this in a – like it's about competing and being too not enough muscle, too skinny, things like that, rather than like what you are in real life. There's a difference between that. So I actually had to give myself more time to gain the muscle that was needed to be like suitable for competing. So that's totally different. And that took a while. Like it took years to sort of build decent muscle. But then I decided competing wasn't for me and I just wanted to live a healthy lifestyle. So it became different. And then I started being more relaxed with having some body fat on me. And I used to be obsessive back in the day. Like I'd chosen to be fit and healthy. I felt great, but then I was too obsessive about that. And I wanted to have ripped abs and I wanted no fat on me. And it was still too extreme and not really healthy. So then I decided that I didn't want my main focus to be about how I looked and how lean I was. I wanted to feel my best. So I shifted my focus to that. And then a byproduct is that you do
of start course, looking yeah.
good as well.
So let's try and wrap up this with some tangible stuff. So it's the 23rd of January as we're recording this right now. I think it's going to go live because we're in New York. Is it next Wednesday, producer Courtney? The 5th of February. After, yeah. So the 5th of February, right? People are sitting here. There's been plenty of time by the 5th of February that they have set a New Year's resolution and fallen off the wagon. What do they do now? What are you recommending?
Falling off, get back on. And stop, don't think, oh, well, I've ruined the last few weeks. It's like what we're talking about before with the bank. You're not going to throw all your money away.
Yep.
Just start getting back on track. And even if you've had like the last few weeks of just eating everything that was not great for you and not exercising, just get back on, realize it's going to take time. You're not going to feel great straight away. You're going to feel like shit.
Yeah.
And you have to
stick to
it.
But regardless of being health and fitness, right, like if they're sitting at February 5th, they're listening to this right now and they're going, disaster, right? Like I'm one of these people. I set a New Year's resolution like 80% of the world. I've completely fallen off.
Yeah.
I think we've established today that one, get a pen out.
Yeah. Write a list. Write down those goals that you've got. With me, this is what I did back in the day. I've still got it on my phone years ago, and that was to do with health and fitness and my career in health and fitness. But have your ultimate goal and then break down smaller goals that you can achieve along the way, because when you achieve goals, you feel great. There's a sense of accomplishment and you feel Absolutely. Motivated to keep going. So doing that for yourself is a good thing. Don't just have an ultimate crazy goal.
So we're writing the top. So goal one, let's say it's a health and fitness person. Goal one is I want to be healthier. A lot of people are going to write this, whether you agree with it or not, Emily. A lot of people are going to write on a list, I want to lose 10 kilos. Like that's just a real thing.
Yeah.
If you're someone out there writing on a list, I want to lose 40 kilos, the number's too large.
Yeah.
You need to
be
start.
Realistic.
So if the number is I want to lose 10 kilos, you're saying under that there needs to be week one, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Well, if you were looking at, which again, I don't agree with, but the weight loss thing, maybe you can get a DEXA scan and go by the fat, which is something I more agree with. They want to lose a certain amount of body fat. Maybe they want to get to 22% or something like that, right? Yep. So then you could break it down and say, each week I want to try and achieve this. Now, if you don't achieve it, it's not the end of the world. Sometimes you achieve more, sometimes you achieve less. Yep. You can't, like, you don't know how your body's going to respond. But there's a good way to track it in that if you wanted to go that way. And then as you achieve it, you can reward yourself. Maybe you get a new pair of leggings or something or shoes, or maybe you take yourself out for dinner or whatever it is. You go to the movies. Find out ways to reward yourself for these achievements.
For sure, because we're actually seeing a really interesting pattern in your fit program at the moment. So we spoke about earlier that you've launched a booty program, which is currently on. I think that you can still just join now, I think, when this episode is going live. But the booty program has been interesting because it's the first time that we've ever tangibly given people a calendar and they've been able to sort of mark day one off, day two
it's
off, day
three
off.
It's a good feeling doing that.
Yeah, and people have responded really well.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. They're sharing it. So they're posting it in their story on Instagram. I'm asking them to tag me in it so I can see too, because I want to encourage them.
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing they're putting a peach over each day
Love.
to tick it off. So it's really cute. But it's good because they're going, yeah, I did that. Like, there's a good feeling in that.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that you do that, and you do have those goals written down that you can sort of mark off in some way.
Yeah. And I think it's important to post it too.
Yeah, and be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
There's this thing about, like, being proud of yourself is not a good thing, but it is. Like, yeah. You need to do it.
Like, there's so many people in your forum that are posting, and it's the photo's the same. Yeah. They're all posting the same calendar. They're all putting the same peach over day two, yeah. But they're all posting it. But I think it's so good.
Yeah, they're like, I did this, and everyone's like, good, like, you know, good work.
Yeah,
and
supportive.
I did it too, and it's just this great feeling, and everyone's sort of doing it together. So I think too, like, when you have a goal, no matter what it is, it could be with your career or whatever, find people that are supportive to surround yourself with, and not people who are constantly bringing you down. You want people who are realistic as well, who are going to tell you the truth, but be selective with who you listen to, because there's people, if they haven't done it before, they're going to tell you it can't be done or you can't do this, which I copped a lot, and then I proved them wrong. But you need people that do believe in you and who are going to support you along the way, because it's so much easier to do things. You still got to do the hard work, but when you've got people who do, you know, they've got your back and lift you up, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of stuff there. I think it's important. I mean, we've sort of been a bit all over the shop today, but yeah. I think it's important for people to know that obviously tying everything to the date change is absurd.
Yeah.
That's not going to help you get anything
done.
But
if that's what you need to do it, then do it. And then it's a great thing. It's a positive thing if you're going to do it. But don't think that because it's a new year, it's going to be easier to do.
No.
It's the same.
If people are listening to this on a Wednesday, if you're going, I did want to get healthier and I haven't, don't say to yourself, but Monday's the day.
Yeah, do it
Start
now.
Thursday.
Or your next meal could be a healthier choice.
Yeah. That's, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I wrote because I, you know, my brain doesn't really work that well now. I wrote some things down as well. After you've broken it down into smaller achievable goals, make appointments with yourself so you hold yourself accountable. So you can write in your diary when you're gonna work out what foods to get, yep. Or when you're gonna do your shopping, and make sure you make that appointment and stick to it. So you don't let yourself down. Don't compare yourself to other people. You can be motivated, like I was talking about before, be motivated by others. And, you know, if someone looks great, you can use them to get you going.
You've hit all these points. So you didn't even need the list. Oh. Surround yourself with positive support.
Yeah, I've said that already.
Nailed that already.
Celebrate your achievements.
See, look. But and the problem is with celebrating your achievements, and just to backtrack on what we said, it is important. You can't celebrate unless you have an identifiable thing that you've done.
Yeah.
And if it's 10 kilos, then the celebration isn't going to come for months.
Yeah.
So if it's lose 10 kilos, cool, but the one underneath it is you're going to go a whole week without eating chocolate or
And it doesn't
whatever.
Have to be like a measured achievement.
Yeah.
It could be that you have been consistent with your training and you have like ticked off each day and you've done it, and that's an amazing thing. Because sometimes having a goal and you want a particular number lost or whatever it is can be a bad thing for you, because if you don't get that, very unmotivating. Is that word un or demotivating? I never know which is the correct word.
Yeah.
But I think too, to mention as well, everyone's goal focus, and I believe goals are great to have, and having purpose in your life keeps you going and keeps you happy. But don't think that reaching a goal is going to bring this incredible happiness, because you'll have this height and you'll feel amazing, and then it sort of you plateau and you go back down to like how you usually feel. And that's why having lots of goals is great to keep you going.
Yeah.
But try to enjoy the process there and the journey there. And this is not just with fitness. This can be with your, maybe you've got a business goal or a personal goal, whatever it is, you've got to enjoy the in-betweeners, the small things in between, and the experiences getting there. You know, take time to really appreciate what you're doing at the moment.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
No, it does.
And I know
absolutely.
That training's not going to be that fun, but try to sort of take it all in, absorb it, and realize that your ultimate goal is not going to make you like so happy. And I don't want to come across negatively, but achieving goals are great, and I've achieved many, which back in the day I would think would be the ultimate and make me so happy. And yeah, I was happy, but as I said, you go back to your normal life, and
but that's where the scale thing is wrong. Like, if I'm 10 kilos lighter, I'll be happier. You might be 10 kilos lighter, but you might have done that unhealthily too.
Yeah.
You might be 20 kilos lighter. You might be your goal weight, but you're horribly unwell because you're doing it so unhealthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's,
what you think you want and what the outcome is can be very different things. And I think we don't have time in this episode, but I think that that's also very much a mental health discussion as well.
It
like
is.
You can't tie your happiness to a number on the scale, because even if you were 30 kilos lighter, you wouldn't be happier. It's the same thing where people say, you can still be depressed in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
You're not any happier because you're
rich.
A
lot of the time they're more depressed.
Correct.
Isn't it crazy?
Money brings a lot of problems. And,
even Kylie Jenner's spoken about it.
Yeah.
Now she's like, she feels like she's trapped and she can't go down the beach. She has to go at nighttime because then there's no people there, and getting a new car, like initially it's exciting, but then you're just like, whatever, it's just a car, you know, it kind of desensitized in a way to it.
100%. And so I think that's super important from a mental health perspective, that you don't tie these achievements to happiness, because they're two very different things.
Yeah. And you got to appreciate the small things. It's not about, well, not necessarily about those big things like getting a new house or a car or a pool or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to really learn to appreciate the small things in life, because that's what keeps you going. And life is full of those small things and the in-between moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, that's been quite the episode, if you will.
Yes.
Get yourself a pen out. Make that
write down, put it in your phone. I've still got my list from a decade ago.
I like paper.
It's so cool to look back, though.
It is cool.
Oh, paper's good, but I lose everything. So.
Me too, but I don't know. I like putting pen to paper to me is really therapeutic. Take a photo of it once you've done it.
Yeah.
Written it.
That's a good idea.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, but I go back sometimes and I reread the things that I used to do. And affirmations is another huge thing too, that keep you going. I used them heaps back when I first started.
Yeah.
But it's just an amazing feeling to go back and look at that list and go, wow, I either did them all or nearly all of them, and the ones I didn't do, it was for a reason. Like you see later on that I didn't do that for a reason, because this will make sense later. Like it wasn't part of what I was supposed to do. That makes sense. It's not part of the big picture. And yeah.
Absolutely.
But yeah. There it is.
Wrap us up, Emily.
Well, thanks for joining us. I feel like we've been talking for so long. We've done so many podcasts lately that I just feel like we're just, our mouths are always going, but we're used to that. So we're off again in a few days overseas. We'll have another podcast come out while we're away as well. So, yeah, stay tuned and we'll see you next time. And we've got some guests coming on as well, which I'm really excited about. Some good stuff, some gut health things, and we're going to get a psychologist and things like that. So, yeah, remember, you can make that goal list.
Thanks for listening. Love you all the most. See you next time.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the You Can podcast with me, Emily Skye. This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, and I'll be so grateful if you could rate and review my podcast. To stay up to date with me, follow me on Instagram at You Can by Emily Skye, and join our closed Facebook group so we can chat. Just search You Can by Emily Skye.